Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. Welcome back. It's nice to talk on a weekly basis again. I know you've been busy, huh?
Yeah, we're working on the hopefully the final chapters of Essential Evidence, which will have over 800 chapters of evidence-based topic summaries and a lot of interactive tools. And it's been a two-year project to get this done, and we're finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And pretty sure it's not a train, so we're looking to see that released at the end of the year, the beginning of next year.
Excellent. Well, it's nice to be talking again, and I know we've had a number of emails from listeners wondering why we took a hiatus. We've got a good poem this week. It is about diverticular disease, something we haven't talked about in a while. Just by way of background, diverticula, which are those mucosal outpouchings through the wall of the colon, affect about 5% of adults age 40 and over. Interestingly, a minority, only 10 or 15% of those people who have diverticula will develop symptoms such as tummy pain. Recurrent symptoms are common, and 5% of people with clinical diverticula eventually develop complications such as perforation, obstruction, hemorrhage, fistula, abscesses, things like that. Interesting that the use of non-steroidal drugs, steroids, opiate analgesics, have all been associated with an increased risk of perforation of the diverticula. Dietary fiber supplementation and laxatives, things like methylcellulose and lactulose, are widely used to treat uncomplicated diverticular disease. But it's interesting that we don't know whether they reduce symptoms or prevent complications. Why? Because there just aren't a lot of randomized controlled trials. There is a lot of uncertainty in this area. Antibiotics plus dietary fiber may improve symptoms more than fiber alone, but no randomized controlled trials. We don't know whether elective open or laparoscopic colonic resection improves symptoms in people with uncomplicated diverticular disease, something you'd think that that we'd have an answer to at this point. Surgery is usually performed for people with peritonitis, that is, peritonitis caused by acute diverticulitis, but interestingly, we there too don't know whether it improves outcomes compared with no surgery. So this week, we're going to look at prevention. There are lots of myths and wise tales, but is there any evidence? The abstract, Mark, that you're going to talk about asks the question, should adults with diverticular disease avoid the consumption of nuts and corn and popcorn and seeds? This is an article from JAMA. What did the authors find?
Well, you know, it's interesting hearing you list the litany of things we don't know about diverticular disease. It just makes me think it's like the bronchitis of the GI tract. It's something everybody gets. It's very common, you know, causes a fair amount of morbidity, not a lot of mortality, but some. And we just don't know really the best way to manage this. We think we know. We've been doing a lot of things that make sense, but we really don't know a lot of this. And this is a great one where they a study where someone actually tries to answer one of these questions that we should have asked a long time ago. The authors began by getting data from a big study called the Health Professionals Follow-Up Study, and that began in 1986, and they enrolled about 50,000 male healthcare workers aged 40 to 75 years, and then they had them complete a survey every couple of years about their current health. And they asked about a lot of things, including whether they'd been diagnosed with diverticular disease. And they also provided information about what they were eating and their dietary intake and some very detailed surveys. And this is a big study. It's looking at a lot of different things, but they're just looking at the GI tract here. And they got complete follow-up for more than 90% of the participants after 18 years, which is pretty good for this kind of study. And what you're looking for is at least 80% follow-up. So after they excluded those men who already had diverticular disease or other GI diseases at baseline, they were left with about 47,000 men. And they did a random review of 179 medical records of men who reported diverticular disease to see if they could confirm. You know, the guy said, yeah, I had diverticular disease diagnosed. They looked at the records and did confirm in 90% of the cases, or 97%, that they did indeed have diverticular disease. So we can be pretty confident of the self-report data. They found a total of 800 cases of diverticulitis and 383 cases of diverticular bleeding during these 18 years. What they found was that consuming nuts and corn and popcorn in any amount, whether it was a lot or a little, was not associated with an increased risk of diverticular disease. And they tried to adjust for things that we think might be associated with diverticuli, like eating fat or smoking or aspirin use, and still didn't find any significant association. And they also didn't find any association between eating these foods and having recurrent diverticulitis or in diverticulosis, you know, people who'd already had a first episode. And in fact, what they saw was the opposite. There was actually a trend in the opposite direction, so that people who ate more nuts and corns and popcorn and seeds had less risk of diverticular disease. Now, we don't want to jump to the conclusion that they're somehow protective, but it certainly doesn't support any kind of major problem eating these foods. And they looked separately at strawberry and blueberry consumption because they have teeny little tiny seeds, and again, no association with diverticular disease.
So, I'm not sure I've ever seen a seed in a blueberry. Do they have seeds?
I did not know that. Strawberries, yeah. Raspberries, I think so. But I did not know that the blueberries had them. But that's what they say.
Yeah, maybe.
In any case, didn't have anything to do with it.
You know, it's interesting. The concept of diverticulitis is one that's always fascinated me from an epidemiologic perspective. As I understand it, it is something that's much more common in Western civilizations than it is in non-Western civilizations. And perhaps the reason that nuts and corn and popcorn seem to be protective is, as I understand it, there's a correlation with stool size and stool frequency. And the smaller the stool size, the less water there is in the stool, and the fewer stool movement somebody has in a day or a week, the higher the incidence of diverticular disease. So perhaps, you know, when you're eating nuts and other kinds of fiber, that is actually just increasing transit time and stool bulk, and that may be protective.
Yep, it may be, or it may be in association with other things in the diet that go along with eating those kinds of foods. We don't really know that, but it certainly doesn't look like that old seed will plug the hole kind of theory really pans out.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, good. I'm glad I can keep eating my my popcorn and nuts.
Okay. Well, slip on your Birkenstocks and put your feet
up. I'm in California.
There.
That's right.
Hey, I'm in Georgia and I wear them, so.
Okay. We'll talk next week, Mark. Thanks for your time.
All right. Take care, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.